The first series of U.S. sanctions against Iran are set to be reimposed today. That's after President Trump pulled the country out of the Iran nuclear deal. With me for our weekly look at some of the top international stories in the coming days is the BBC's Poona Ghadusi. And Poona, let's start with the new sanctions on Iran. It seems the effects of those are already being felt. What's on the list for this first round?
Yes, Mark, the White House is making this announcement today, and from midnight tonight, Eastern Time, new rounds of sanctions will be enforced on Iran. The first phase is going to be limiting the purchase of U.S. dollars by Iranian banks, the trade in gold and precious metals, the aviation and the car industries. Then the next phase will be targeting sales of crude oil, shipping, insurance, exports of Persian carpets, etc. The Trump administration is hoping that this kind of pressure will force Iran to change what the U.S. is calling Iran's malign behavior in the region. And concerns over these sanctions, as you said, have already weakened Iran's currency and its economy. The BBC's Persian services Rana Rahimpour explains more.
The Iranian currency, the rial, has lost 80% of its value over the last year. The U.S. dollar exchange rate has tripled in the last 3 months. That, in turn, has led to big increases in the costs of many everyday items like bread and milk. Iran's economy has gone into freefall since Donald Trump's decision to leave Iran's nuclear deal.
On top of that, the rest of the 5+1 countries, those are the ones that together with the U.S. negotiated the Iran deal originally, that is Russia, China, Germany, France and the U.K., they've all expressed their dismay and they're trying to keep their end of the deal alive, but it's not really looking promising at all. President Trump himself said that he is happy to negotiate with Iran without preconditions as well, but that offer was quickly dismissed by the commander of the powerful Revolutionary Guards of Iran and also Iran's foreign minister Javad Zarif. He said Mr. Trump cannot be trusted. But President Rouhani and, more importantly, maybe the supreme leader have remained quiet on that offer.
And Poona, we've seen some protests in several Iranian cities. Does it seem as though this might be the beginning of some kind of uprising there?
That's true, Mark, but uprising, not quite there yet, but the frustration and anger is definitely there for sure. It's over the rising levels of poverty, inflation and state corruption. For the past 5 days now, waves of people have been taking to the streets in the capital, Tehran, in several other cities across the country. They're shouting slogans like death to dictator, we don't want the mullahs ruling over us anymore, and of course this one. The protesters there, as you hear, are saying they lie when they say that America is our enemy. Our enemy is in fact right here. And they mean their own leaders, who they say are mostly to blame for running the country to the ground. Now, the president, who's under huge pressure, as I said, is due to be addressing the nation and their angry concerns tonight on state TV. We'll see what he has to say.
All right, Poona, let's move to South America now, where tomorrow Colombia swears in a new president. Seems like a pretty significant deal.
It is, especially if you remember 2 years ago, the now outgoing president, Juan Manuel Santos, won a Nobel Peace Prize for managing to end the decades-long civil war with the guerrilla group, the FARC. But the new president, Iván Duque Márquez, who's been sworn in this week, going to be sworn in this week, he has for long been a fierce critic of this peace deal. He says it isn't harsh enough and it doesn't punish the rebels enough. So now there's concern that the peace deal is going to be on shakier ground when he takes over, and he may actually be reversing some of those agreements made 2 years ago. But behind all this is the country's continuing war on drugs, the fight for the territory they once held, the rebels once held, and the business that helped fund this fight. The BBC's Frank Gardner has been traveling along with the Colombian forces in the Colombian jungle.
Well, we've just landed by helicopter a short distance away, right in the middle of a coca field. And this here is the fully operational jungle laboratory. You can smell it in the air. They're going to now destroy it, but they're very worried about a counterattack from the people who are operating this. They think they're going to come and try and hit them. In areas where the rebels have put down their weapons, the government is struggling to assert its control. But some, an estimated 600, have vowed to fight on. And meanwhile, the multi-billion dollar cocaine industry is fueling criminality and pulling in the ruthless Mexican cartels.
The BBC's Frank Gardner there.
All right, let's stay in South America now, where on Wednesday there's going to be a contentious vote in Argentina on the issue of abortion. This is a very, very significant issue there.
It is. It's the second interesting story going on in the continent this week. Argentina's Senate is going to be voting on whether to legalize abortion in the first 14 weeks of pregnancy. Currently in the country, it's only allowed in the cases of rape or the woman's ill health. 2 months ago, the lower house narrowly voted in favor of this. Now, if it passes also in the upper house, it will be a game changer in a region where, as you know, it is deeply conservative when it comes to women's rights. It's interesting to also mention that at a time when abortion rights are being questioned in the US, traditionally more conservative countries such as Argentina and Ireland have actually been going through major upheavals and changing pace on this issue. Argentina, as you know, is a deeply Catholic country. It's the birthplace of the current Pope. And if this is approved, it will be the region's most populous country as well to have legalized abortion. Just a year ago, it probably would have not been possible to even consider such a vote. But major demonstrations and pressure by activists have helped shift this kind of public opinion rather quickly in the past year. So now, it is said that the 72 senators of the upper house are apparently split on this abortion bill. We'll have to see which way the vote goes on Wednesday, 8th of August, when they go to make their decision.
All right, that's the BBC's Pune Gadusi. Pune, as always, really good to talk to you. Thank you.
Pleasure.